And as I look around everyone here this morning, I want you to know that I prayed for every one of you, everyone in this room, this morning. I do that every morning. It's probably the best habit I ever gotten into in my life. But God is good and He is merciful. And you need to pray, I need to practice. Well, first of all, we're going to find my glasses. There they are. Thank you, Benjamin Franklin. Whoops. We're going to pick up close to where we left off the last time. I can stay there till I leave. In Psalm 119, and we're looking at none. Is the heading. It's verse 105. And we will go through that portion, and we're going to switch a little bit back and forth here between those verses that we didn't quite get to a couple of weeks ago when I was up here. But this is the 14th of the little couplets in Psalm 119. There's 22 of them, 8 verses each, 176 verses that magnify Jesus Christ and His Word and His words. The Word gets a lot of prominence. The words don't get their proper attention. And that's where the meat is. And none has several meanings the way most of the Hebrew words do. It means a fish. Fish was kind of the symbolic sign of the Christian in the early church. It means a fish, an heir, a son, and the number 50. And the number 50 is a significant number in Scripture, just like it is in life. When you've been married 50 years, hey, that's a goal. Well, let me qualify that. To the same wife, 50 years. Not a combination of 2 or 3 or 4, unless you've been married to the one you're with for 50 years. But we find that mentioned in Leviticus 25, it was a year of Jubilee. And it's called that, the wedding Jubilee. Now, I had my wedding Jubilee many, many years ago. That's 63 years. So that'd be 63 plus 3 years since my wife passed. So that's, 66 years ago. Now, Brother Marty and Edna, you know, there's like the silver wedding. I think that's 25. The golden is 50. They're looking forward to their plutonium this next year. Plutonium wedding anniversary. That's commendable. I thought maybe we'd just look at Leviticus 25 and see why the Jubilee was so significant. I know it's got to be a favorite passage for farmers. Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 25. And let's see, the references would be 8 to 13. Leviticus 25, 8 to 13. And it begins, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto you, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. And that's in this engraving on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Unto all the inhabitants thereof, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather grapes in it of thy vine undressed, leave it undressed. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. And the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor. And according to the number of the years of fruits, he shall sell unto thee. And then dropping down, verse 18, wherefore you shall do my statutes, keep my judgments, do them, you shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And you shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. 21, then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring you forth fruit for 3 years. Now that's a big crop. That's a good crop. And there's the rest for the land and the rest for the one who farms the land. You could take a vacation. You could go down to Egypt or someplace. That wouldn't really be an idea. God said, don't go down to Egypt. But 21 says, I'll command my blessing upon you. And then you shall sow the 8th year and eat of the old fruit until the 9th year, until the fruits come in. So God has a marvelous provision. And he's provided that for us in the Word of God. The Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. And so we have, if you would look at Psalm 119, 105, and you as well will find in reference to the land, you find out the division of the land in Numbers 34 and those who were assigned to it. And the land belonged to God, so they were not to sell it. And if they sold it to someone in Israel, they measured the value. If it was 20 years till a Jubilee, that land had 20 years of value in it. If it was 2 years to Jubilee, it had 2 years in value. Because the Jubilee, it came back to the initial owner. God's decision. That's the way it'll be handled. And if you would, Psalm 105, and I'll read just a few verses, and then we'll try to see what we can find in them. Verse 105, Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. And we'll stop there and we'll go back to 105 and look at that. And God's word is a lamp and a light. We know that from verse 98 in the past chapter. He said in that passage, verse 98 of the previous couplet, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. So God's word will make you wiser than your enemies. In verse 99, you'll have more understanding than the ancients, those in the Lord who've gone before us. God isn't concerned about the ancients in the world's philosophers, so-called. Beware of oppositions of science, falsely so-called. And verse 99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation, where the power is. Where the power is. And we could use more of that today in America, because we're living in a time of America that is unprecedented. When we as a nation are, what we're seeing and experiencing is a level of moral decay and religious apostasy, which I've never seen in my life, never thought about in my life, never. I would be considered 50s generation, I guess. But compared to today, for the world standards, that was about halfway to the Garden of Eden. And that's called progress. Progress. It ought to be called a regression. Because I'm telling you, I've seen some people out there on the TV news that I know couldn't have a brain in their head. And it's not just the black matters, it's the whites that are supporting that blindly, that Marxists. Just a mess, guys. We're in a mess. And we need understanding. We need enlightenment. Job 28:28, it said that the fear of the Lord is that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Show me the understanding. Show me the understanding the next time you put on any of the news networks. You can't do it. It's not there. We're in the condition of the five foolish virgins. I don't mean doctrinally, but comparatively. America has no oil in its lamp. The lamp is all but gone out. And the I've had a lot of thoughts as I've watched how these things have progressed and how prominent the media has become. In particular, with this coronavirus response and the shutdown and all these news programs that are meant to scare the daylights out of you. And then with the churches closed, think about this for a couple of minutes. You have so many churches are doing the best they can, which is some sort of media presentation. One of the Reformed churches I went by in DeMott, on the billboard outside, it says, no service, but this is our network station or our YouTube station. Well, you think about that. You're getting man so used to getting everything he needs from that video, from the eye gate, that's the one most assaulted in our lives, the ones that can be the most detrimental. And when Antichrist comes, you read over in the book of Revelation where he has that little image of himself. How do you think people are going to see that image? They're going to be so used to watching TV and YouTube and the internet. The Antichrist is going to have a soft sell. It'll be routine for them by now. But we can't afford to take anything routine. And I think the Lord's coming back. And I hope he hurries. In Ephesians 4:17-19, Paul has a warning there. Ephesians 4:17-19. And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the Lord. Other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. America has heart disease. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work uncleanness, all uncleanness with greediness. That word lasciviousness is wantonness. And that's characterized by an expressing lewdness and intending to incite lustful desires. Now, where would they find that? Where would they find anything like that? I don't know. There's got to be 196 TV stations out there, I'm sure. If you look for it, you'll find it. You don't want to be looking in that place. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his sins. So Ephesians 4:20 says about this passage, but you have not so learned Christ. Because we brethren are the children of God, born of the Spirit, cleansed by the blood. So I want to give you four little simple observations, nothing overpowering, but four little observations over what the child of God will do. I won't say ought to do, but he will do it. He will do it. Number one, you will make wise decisions according to the commandments of God. Why? Psalm 119:98, right in our passage here, says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. And then Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And there are more than 10 commandments. You know that? There's more than love thy neighbor. The example there in Luke of the Good Samaritan. Man was beaten among thieves, and when everyone passed him, they crossed the street. You know, California, what would you do in California where the streets are literally littered with homeless and druggies and derelicts, where the needles are piled up in the streets to where it looks like they've been rained down from above? John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And number two, the child of God will meditate on the things God has recorded. God has recorded. And remember when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples were walking and they met a man. They didn't recognize him immediately. And he began to talk to them. And it says then, he later on, as they're reminiscing, when he's caught away from him, it says, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures? He wasn't opening the New Testament to them. Why? No New Testament. The scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. Old Testament. Old Testament. And I know there's denominations that spend very little time in the Old Testament. They're more interested in Matthew, Acts, or Hebrews, one of those stumbling books. And they get messed up right out of the box. And the child of God will meditate on the things that are recorded there. 119.99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Because of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Those are core verses for every Christian, for every believer. It's a foundational there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yet says God has got a message in everything he says. And it may not fit you exactly, but it fits somebody out there. Somebody may be transitioning from the world to Christ. You know, some people have a marvelous conversion. They get saved today, tomorrow they quit smoking, drinking, and chasing everything they were chasing. But for most of us, it's sometimes it could be a little rockier start, you know. As you accept the Lord, you trust Christ, and you're looking for everything to be wonderful. It is wonderful between you and the Lord, but you know, you've got a lot of baggage here on, and you've got to take care of your baggage. You've got to make things right with some people now that you've made it right with God. And then Isaiah 55:11 lets us know that God's word will bear fruit in our lives. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God wants us to be fruit bearers. He's the tree. He's the root. We're the branches. The fruit doesn't grow on the trunk. It grows on the branches. Fruit bearers. And then number three, the child of God will keep his feet from every evil way. Keep his feet from every evil way. Psalm 119:101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Proverbs 1:15 says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Who's he talking about there? The way of the world. The way of the world. Walk not in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. Proverbs 2:20 adds that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of life. And there's a Proverbs 16:25 says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then David talks about the blessed man. The blessed man. Psalm 1, real quickly. You know, God knew where to begin. Blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, you walk with the ungodly and you stand in the way of sinners means you'll stand for anything. You'll tolerate anything. And the world is concerned about coping and sharing and tolerating. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law, there's a meditation we talked about. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And then verse 3, there's a fruit bearing. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. In his season. God says there's a season to everything. There's a time to plant, time to sow, a time to water, time to reap, time to weep, and a time to mourn. I think we're kind of getting close to that weeping and mourning time. And his leaf also shall not wither. And then it's all good, but verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way. The Lord knoweth the way. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. John 14, 6, Jesus, that was one of his claims. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I told you, just simple, simple stuff. And then the fourth thing here, sometimes it's a little rough. The child of God will be teachable. Teachable. We want our kids to be teachable. We want them to be attentive in Lowell Baptist School or wherever they are. Or if you're homeschooling, we sure want them to be teachable. But Psalm 119:98 says they need to be teachable because our enemies are ever with us. In verse 102, it says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Our enemies are ever with us, because we're in a foreign territory. Who's the prince of the power of the world? Satan, the devil. And he's going to be pretty upset pretty soon, because I think he's getting close. He's getting close, getting close. Our enemies are ever with us. And they multiply every decade. And I can trace that back to the 50s. And then in the 60s. 60s is where the slide started. You could hardly recognize it for the other things going on. But our enemy is multiplying. And 2 Timothy says evil seducers are waxing worse and worse. Look at 2 Timothy 3, 1-7. And this is the condition we're in right now, as we are in the last days. The last days. Now, the official kickoff of that, where the world will recognize that, won't happen until the rapture, until there's chaos and fright. And they think they're scared about the coronavirus. I'll tell you, your hair will stand up straight when that happens. When they hear, I don't know what it'll be like, because for us, it'll be just, our name will be called and we'll be there. It'll be the fastest trip we've ever had in anybody's life. And I think to them, maybe it'll be like a bunch of jet breaking the sound barrier. I have no idea. You know, it's just, but you kind of imagine things. Or maybe it'll be when there's a storm and there'll just be thunder and lightning going everywhere and maybe running across the ground the way it did in Egypt. That's coming for them anyway. Because that's Moses and Elijah duplicating the plagues from Egypt. Well, there's not a lot to cheer about there. And let's read 2 Timothy 3, 1-7. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And check this out as we go through it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, guilty, covetous, guilty, boasters, proud, guilty, 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 blasphemers. Oh, the name of God is blasphemy. Disobedient to parents, a little bit of that going on. Just a little, like sending your son off to one of these $50,000 a year universities and they come back Marxist, communist, radicals. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Well, we've got three networks make their living off of false accusations. Incontinent. No self-control. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Boy, they got a high opinion of themselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. You know, those that oppose the death penalty for somebody who's murdered 2, 3, 4, or half a dozen people, or a family, or a child, or a young woman, they think they're more noble than God because they don't want to put them to death. Oh, what a high opinion of themselves. And verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And that creep usually comes into houses through that little box. It does have a off button along with the on button, though. And don't let it be a snare to your soul. And, well, we're out of time. We'll pick up, by the grace of God, next week if he doesn't come. And by the goodness of God, he'll come. And you'll have to find out later on somewhere else. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day. Lord, it's so good to be together with other believers. Lord, those that love you, whose hearts are seeking after you. And I pray, Lord, you bless our fellowship today. Bless Pastor as he brings a message. And Lord, if there's somebody who comes here today who doesn't know you, Lord, that they not leave without having their sins forgiven and trusting you for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.